Are you ready to worship the Lord tonight? I am so thrilled you all are here. Hallelujah. Because good things are in store. Hallelujah. We pray that you are touched and receive his presence tonight. I encourage everyone to come on Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. I guess it was off the hook on Wednesday night, and I got a personal taste of it because I got the CD, and I cannot quit listening to it. Amen. It is probably one of the most powerful messages I heard, although they all are amazing. But I encourage you to come if you desire a closer walk or hungering for more of him. Come on Wednesday night. You will be blessed. Hallelujah. Prayer is amazing. It begins at 6 p.m. and then the word with PK at 7. And don't forget about the Jaywalkers. Bring your youth to Kristen's class. Amen. And they will be blessed as well. Pastor Chris wants me to let you know to mark your calendars for Holy Fire. It is on the last Friday of this month on 325, beginning at 7 p.m. Holy Fire with Gordon Austin and True Spirit Ministries. All it is 2 hours of worship and prayer. And we come together with community churches, pastors and their congregations, and we just come in here and we worship and we pray with the community. Amen. So I encourage you to set that night aside. Come and you will be blessed. The honor of your presence is requested that night, so set that night aside. Next Saturday, March 5th at 10 a.m., we are resuming our power-up class with myself. Amen. If you want to come for a Bible study to get encouragement in the Word, come here Saturdays, 10 a.m. And then thank you for your giving. Amen. And if you want to continue to give, hallelujah, give in that area. If you want to give online, it's fwcnc.org/giving. You can give in person or by mail. And don't forget about our church app. You can download the app in the App Store or scan the QR code. There's so many of the little cards throughout the church. You can scan it with your phone. Would you stand with me? Are you ready? Church, don't forget to pray for Ukraine and what they are all going through. And I know most of us here has probably heard about what they are going through. And I just pray that God just protects the families and the people of Ukraine and keep them safe. I know I've heard many stories. There's so many Christians hiding out in churches, amen, and in subways. And we just pray the hand of God upon them, amen. But I just want to give you the scripture. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. If you're hungering and thirsting for him, it's a promise that you shall be filled. Amen. Cease not in your desire. Cease not in your seeking. Hallelujah. Though weary and tired, cease not. And this is what's the key. Keep the flame hot with the kindling of praise and worship, prayer. That's how you keep it hot. That's how you come before him. That's how you keep the coals burning. Hallelujah. Let the oil of gladness pour forth and serve as fuel for passionate pursuit of the God who loves you. Amen. Keep seeking and keep releasing, church. Amen. So as we go into worship, amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Let us worship. Don't forget your tithes and offerings.
altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Yes, be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. We stretch our hands to him, Lord God, and we release all of our strength in the name of Jesus. As he takes this pulpit, Lord God, let him run, hallelujah, with the strength of a mighty army, hallelujah, with a mighty chariot, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for tonight, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. You deserve the highest praise in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah.
Can you say in the name of Jesus? Everything that we do, any enemy that we face it not in my ability or my strength, but I face it in the name of Jesus. And this is something that I'm really... When Kelly was praying, I really felt this in my spirit. I prayed downstairs in there. Thank you for my brother for praying for me. And sometimes we let things, we become more aware of things. Problems, situations. Hear me. Hear in the spirit. Hear tonight. Hear this. Become more aware that we recognize things that we go through, feelings that we have. We recognize those things more than God. Sometimes we let our problems speak louder than the voice of God, the Spirit of God that's within us. Sometimes we let our situations speak louder and with greater volume. Sometimes we let we give the enemy place and voice within our lives, that we become more aware to that voice than the voice of God. And I hear God, I hear them, I hear Him in the Spirit. I hear God calling His church. I hear Him calling His people to come and be aware, hallelujah. He'll be aware of His presence, amen. Do you know that, listen, you are empowered when you receive, hallelujah, Christ within your life. When you receive the Spirit of God, amen. When you receive the Spirit. If you have not received, hallelujah, the Spirit, you might have met Jesus. He's forgiven you of your sins. You're born again. But I'm here to tell you, you need an overflow of God's Spirit within your life to get victory. That's how we let God. Hallelujah. I want you to know that we give ourselves to God. And what happens is when we're filled with the Spirit, it's God giving all Himself to us. It's God releasing all that He has in the midst of our situations and our circumstances. You have the Spirit of God within you to empower you, to equip you, to communicate to you that God is near. So we come here tonight and took the opportunity right here tonight. You have done this. Those that are watching, you've given yourself a place to be aware of God. And let God speak to your heart. See, when we listen, we worship. Those words aren't just words, but they're meant to be life, to quicken your spirit, to remind you your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, to begin to let God be exalted higher, greater, that He be lifted up above every name, that He be lifted up in the midst of your circumstance, that He be lifted up above them, that you become more aware of God than your problems. You become more aware of God's presence, that you forget about the fire. You forget about the fire. You forget about what you're going through, and you become concerned about His presence. That nothing's more important than His presence. That you being aware of it. And we have a responsibility as His children. We have a responsibility to cherish it. Tell someone, cherish it. To cause yourself, to let yourself be aware. You've come tonight to let yourself be aware. I pray that God speaks to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That He speaks to you right now. That you begin to, that goes through, hallelujah, your flesh and begins to bypass your emotions and begin to enter into your spirit. That you be quickened, that you have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I'm here. I feel like God just declaring that God wants to be louder. He wants you to let Him be louder. He wants you to let Him be louder than whatever it is. So tonight we come and we hear the Word of God. That becomes that opportunity to let God speak in my midst. That I can be aware of Him. I mean, I think I'm always brought back to that moment where Jesus was sitting in the midst, and there was all kinds of people there. Everybody was there, and it was all those ones, and He was present. Tell someone He's present. Hear me tonight. I pray right now. You hear this in the Spirit. He's present. He's present. He's present. He is not evacuated. He has not run. He's not left His throne. Hallelujah. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is not listen, but I want you to hear this. I want you, that we become aware of that. That He is God. We let God speak to our hearts. And that's what they did in that moment. There were some people that were in that place. That He was present to heal them, and they were healed. There were some people that had to fight through some things because they had to cut through the roof. They had to cut through. There's some things that we got to break through. There's some things that have had mindsets. There's things that try to control us and hold us back from embracing all that He is. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's selfishness, whatever that might be, that keep me. Sometimes it's worried about what you think of me, what you might think of me if I let myself go and I exalt God above my problems. When I celebrate
They weren't worried about what anybody thought about them. They didn't care. And you know what happened? Because of that, they did not let their emotion, they did not let their soul keep them from getting in God's presence and letting God become a more, they became more aware of God, of who He was. But not everybody received. They just sat there. I don't want to just sit there, especially right now when I hear the voice of God calling His people to come higher, to let yourself be aware how great He is, and how much He loves you, what you mean to Him, and your value. Your value. Tell someone you're valuable. Come on, some of you didn't tell. Tell someone you're valuable. Tell me I'm valuable. You're valuable. Come on, amen. You're worthy because He said you're worthy. And I become more of His presence and aware of His presence the more I begin to realize how loved I am. Hallelujah. How treasured I am and what I mean to His eyes. That when He looks at me, hallelujah, that His desire is towards me. I want my desire to be towards Him. I want my affection to be towards Him. Not my problems. God, hallelujah, I desire, God, Lord, I want to be more aware of You in my life, in every moment that I wake up, when I get up, when I have my life, my routine, that it gets habitual, it becomes a habit. But don't let that be a habit. Let God be the first that you seek. Amen. Thank You. Thank You, brother. Amen. So tonight, I want to share with you another way that we can let ourselves tell someone it's a choice. God never forces us. Never forces us to choose. Never forces us to let Him be, to us to be more aware of Him. We choose. We decide. What you have is greater than anything that I have done or anything I've done in this realm. What you have for me is greater than. So tonight, the name of this message is called The Lord's Prayer. Say the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. So in Luke 11, can you help me tonight? I'm going to go there in Matthew. It's Matthew 6, verse 9. But I'm going to go real quick, and I'm going to try to give this to you with an understanding that, see, the Lord's Prayer is something that we have, it's become a routine or just words that we kind of run through instead of understanding the power of this and the significance of what Jesus has given to us to take hold of. Listen. To let me be aware of Him. Say a tool. An opportunity for me to choose to let God arise. Let God arise in my midst. Right here. Let God arise. So those things are worship and praise and hearing the word of God. And it's in prayer. See, this is so significant because, see, the disciples seen something that Jesus had and they wanted it. See, they seen this intense love that Jesus had to the Father. He seen that this devotion that He had towards the Father, that this awareness that He had towards the Father, and they longed for that. They said, I want this. Amen. See, I want you to know that, listen, the more that you seek God, hallelujah, the more you become hungry, the more you desire, that something begins to pull you farther, closer to God. There's a pulling. Say there's a pulling. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to show you this, that what you're doing is pulling the kingdom of God towards you. You're pulling the kingdom of God. In the midst of that, when you let God arise, you're pulling heaven to earth. And God says, I want to, hallelujah, pour out all of heaven into your earth. So here, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this is the key. So he says, so he tells them, he says, they say this. They said, teach us. Say, teach us. He says, teach us. He says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. Show us how to pray. So Jesus didn't give them some other means besides what he was doing. He gave them his prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer because he said, this is the manner, this is the way, say this is the way that you pray. Now I want you to get this out of your mind because we say the Lord's Prayer and we say it, we memorize. How many of you have memorized the Lord's Prayer? Most of us have. I mean, we could, if I said it out loud, you would just flow with me. Come on. We know the prayer. We know it. Do you think that's by chance that you're able to, how many of you can really memorize a lot of scriptures? But that one you do. You probably didn't even try. See, because God made it. See, I want you to hear this, that listen, that sometimes we make things so hard, but Jesus presents it so simple. He presented this to this place of intimacy that he had with the Father. And he said, this is the pattern. This is the model that you follow after. This pattern. And I want you to see this, how that this becomes a pattern. But the reason why it's so easy to memorize is because it's a poem. It's a poem. It's poetic. And as simple as it is, it's very sophisticated. And you could see the genius of Jesus in the midst of this prayer. Because he's revealing something so simple to us, but to the immense complexity that it entails. He opens us up to this intense relationship with the Father that he has. Why do you have this intense? Because they see him praying. They see him alone with the Father. They see him letting himself be aware. The choice of letting the Father speak to him. Him speak to the Father in a conversation. See, because God speaks to you in your spirit. And you begin to think and you begin to have thoughts, have a conversation with God. Listen, so many times you've had conversations with yourself and they've not been good. I have had many conversations with myself about situations. But God says, have it with me. Sometimes I've let other things communicate to me, but God says, let me communicate to you. So Jesus shows him this intense intimacy that he has. And he says, listen, come. I want you to see that everything you see, Jesus is his bringing us into a relationship with the Father. All through the scripture, come on, everything when you read, hallelujah, all through the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you begin to see this expression of Jesus leading his people. That is his heart, that is his desire for us, for you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that no one should perish, but all would have everlasting life. This is what? Because he wants us to enter into this intense relationship with the Father. This place that he has with the Father, he wants you to enter into it. He wants you to be aware of it. But I let so many things become more aware to me. But I need to let God be. Amen. So Jesus invites them into this, his prayer to the Father. And he says this, he says, and after this manner, after this, pray. After this manner, as this, I've given you this symbol, this flow, this pattern, flow in this. And here he begins in verse 9. He says, therefore pray this way, our Father. Say, our Father. He's talking to his disciples and he's telling them to say, our Father. Now you got to remember that I cannot seek the Father. I cannot have this relationship with Father without the Son. I can't. I can enter this relationship with the Father without the Son. So Jesus is saying, keep your eyes on me because I'm the way to the Father. So when he says this, he's saying, listen, our Father, we remind ourselves that you have been invited to enter in to this relationship because of Jesus. He is the way to the Father. He is the way. Say, He's the way. He is the way to the Father. He is the way into the presence of God to be revealed in our lives. Say, He's the way. So this is, so He says, our Father. How can I call Him Father but through the Son? Romans 8:15. We said this Wednesday night, and I want to, if you didn't get it, listen, I'm not going to put Randy on the spot, but please, if you have a CD player, please grab it. I really think it'll help you. It'll really help you in some situations, whatever, but really to know who you are. That has to do with everything. Amen. So here he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. See, because of Jesus, now, through the Spirit, I cry, Abba, Father. Because of what He has done for me through His life, by which I couldn't enter in, He's done it on my behalf. And now, because of Him, I can now enter in what He did for me. Because of His love from the Father revealed in the Son, now I can receive this intimate relationship the Father has with the Son. Now I can cry, Father. So I want you to know, when you start your prayers, that you got to be at that place where you got to know who I am. I am a son of God. It reminds you, come on, amen, that you just start in that place when you make your prayers. Our Father, our Father. You know, it always says our Father, or it says us. Do you know why? Because it's communal. We are selfish-minded. God says it's not that. It's us together, that we are sons and daughters of God. We are. Say, we are. We are. We are. See, when I get the reality of what He did for me, see, when I begin to get the understanding, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to me, so that I could have life. But when I got the reality that God gave His Son, not just for me, but for the whole world, my understanding of God got a little bit, the love of God began to get bigger within my life. With that revelation. It's not just about me. He says, and the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He says, and if children, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we might be glorified together. Say together. So here's this prayer that He starts off with. Our Father, we begin to declare. And then He begins to say, He says, which art in heaven. No, that's not the name of God. His name is not Art. Art, who's in heaven? Thou who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. There's a lot that I could go into that. But in that moment, there's a declaration. He's your Father who arts in heaven. Hallowed be His name. Now, I just want you to see this, that we got the, I don't have time to get into this, but we know that Jesus is standing before, He says, you can't get to the Father but through the Son. When you see me, you see what? The Father. So Father's some not other place. So that means that, guess what? Jesus was bringing heaven to earth. Jesus was expressing the will of the Father through His life in human form to us, that for us to receive. The Bible says this, that they said, how are we going to find the kingdom of God? Where are we going to know that where it is? How are we going to know to get to heaven? How do we do this? And Jesus says this. He says, the kingdom of God does not come from observation. It does not come from you trying to observe or trying to do this or trying to do that. It does not come by signs. It does not come by these means. If someone says, he's there. But the kingdom of God is in you. Say, it's in you. When you receive, become born again, hallelujah, the kingdom of God has been alive. The heaven has arrived within your heart, within your life. Jesus says, where I am, you'll be also. I'm seated beside the Father in heavenlies, and you're seated with me. My position is with the Father. So He says this, it's not some lofty place, so we got to get that out of our minds. Come on, amen. That there's somewhere, sometime that I go there. I want you to know that, listen, Jesus was heaven on earth saying, listen, I want heaven to come into your earth that you can experience this relationship. That's why He came to earth. So Here, listen, catch this. So he said, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He says, well, I'm sorry. We pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. So he's saying something here. That your name is higher. Say it's higher. See, when God uses that description of heaven and earth, he's showing us to understand something. That when you think of the heavens, they're high. They're far from the earth. Say they're far. But Jesus has said the kingdom of God is within you. So I want you to get this picture. So what is he saying? He's given us an example of understanding. And this is where it is in Isaiah 55. Could you look that up? Stay with me tonight. You all right? God begins to show something. He says, which art in heaven? And he says, behold, thou shalt call. Oh, that's verse 6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There's a responsibility for me to call. There's a responsibility for me to take that moment to begin to receive and take hold of what God has for me. And he says, let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Say, here's the separation. He says, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon them. Say amen. Amen. When you return to the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Catch this. He says, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher. Say they're higher. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So here's this depiction that Jesus is descripting, that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Listen, so his thoughts are higher. Say they're higher than my thoughts. So here's what we got to understand. The separation that comes, the Bible says that you're enemies through your mind to God. In our minds, in our thoughts, in our thinking, we've separated to God. We've come in an agreement. We've agreed with something else besides God and what he says to me. I've disagreed with who he is, and I've brought this separation. Where did it happen? It happened with Adam and Eve in the beginning, where that God placed them, hallelujah. Listen, heaven on earth, Garden of Eden. Say it's on earth. It was on earth, and where was God? He was with them. This is a picture that Jesus was restoring, because that thing was broken from man's, from their disobedience. And this divide came apart in our thoughts and our thinking from God. We became rebellious to God. We became in a disagreement with God. So we became separated from God. Image of God in our lives. We divided from God. You all right? So he says this, he says, your ways are higher. They're not earthly. They're not of the earth, but they're higher. See, my thoughts are corrupt. My thoughts are evil. Listen, last week or Saturday, Wednesday night, I showed everybody the narrative that was created because of sin. And that narrative was repeated all through the Bible. Listen to the tape. It is repeated for us to see that this becomes a sequence for us, a narrative that we have, and we need the narrative to change. So Jesus changes the narrative. The separation because of our disobedience. Jesus comes to bring back and to restore that which was lost. That relationship. Bible says that they walked with God. They had this intense relationship with the Father. He wasn't somewhere else. He was in their midst. It's communicating. Hey, Adam, listen. Hey, I'm going to have these animals come to you, and maybe you just go to them. Because you're not limited by, you don't need a car. You just go wherever you want to go because you're empowered by the Spirit of God. So I want you to go and name every one of the animals. I want you to do it. Name them, whatever they are. Zebra, that's good. Platypus, sure. It's funny looking, give it a funny name. So I want you to see this picture. I was wondering, I thought there was a mouse running across the floor. So he begins to give this picture of this relationship, this communication, this intimacy. Where do we see that intimacy? You see it with the Father. In Jesus, you see this communication that Jesus had with the Father. But that was disrupted by Adam. So Jesus is representing the restoration of what he's bringing to us to have. To bring us back. Say, bring us back. To bring us back. To participate in this intimate relationship with the Father. Say, that's good news. Do you know that's why they call it the good news? Adam gave us bad news. By the disobedience of one, sin entered the world. But with the obedience of one, he got victory for all of us. Amen? So, so he says this, he says, but the key word in that Isaiah, he says that I want you to, that we forsake, say forsake, my thoughts. Those things that I've become so aware of that I've let run my life, he says, I want you to forsake those thoughts. So this is the prayer that he's saying. He's bringing us that he says, I want your prayers to be higher. I want you to take hold of what's higher, what's bigger. I want you to take hold of the ways of God, the thoughts of God. I want to present them to you. God, Lord, bring them in my life. Listen. So he says, so let, he said, and then he says this, verse 10. Matthew 6:10. My bad. Ready? For thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So listen, so he's saying this. He says, when I hallow your name, when I begin to get aware of his ways are higher than my ways, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, then I begin to pray, let that be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Let the ways that are in heaven that are higher than my ways, let them be in my life. He says, they come, they will be done on earth. So he's saying, let your will, come on, amen, let your word, hallelujah, be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. That's a good place to like really be excited. Listen, amen? Come on. So he said, let your kingdom come. Let heaven, let your spirit, his spirit be the influence in my life. Let your ways, let the Spirit of God influence me in every area. That's what I pray. I pray, Father, Lord, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Let your influence of heaven, your spirit influence my ways, my actions, my thoughts, my emotions, my will. That I forsake my thoughts. Come on, you know the picture that I said, the body, soul, and spirit. That what happens is when the Spirit of God is quickened within me, that heaven, comes alive. That Kevin on earth right here comes alive within me. That I begin to forsake my ways and begin to turn towards God's. That's what happens. Listen, so he says this, he says, in my earth, my soul, my mind, my emotions, let the Spirit influence this area. Let your presence, let your manifest presence be in my emotions, my will, my thoughts. Amen? Let your reality be my reality. See, here's what I mean. Listen, because I become more aware of some things, I become to let these things become more aware to me than it is in heaven, God's ways. Am I making sense? I become more aware of these. And God said, this is your prayer. He says, let heaven be your thoughts. Let the Spirit take hold of my thoughts for you. All right? Say it's a choice. But I have a choice. I have a choice to eat from my thoughts, from my will, from my emotions, from my feelings. I have a choice. Say a choice. How many of you guys know, can you think of a picture where that you have a choice to eat from what God has said or what others? Adam and Eve. They had a choice. So God told him, he says, listen, everything that God did, he came and he showed everything, every single day he went through that. He says, it's good. Tell someone it's good. So God was distinguishing what was good. He was presenting to them what was good. He said, this is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. He showed them all these things that were good. And then he said to them, he says, but of this tree, the tree of good and evil and knowledge, don't eat from it. Say, don't. So this was the moment where that they began to eat from the earth realm, from their thoughts. Because what they did is they began to define in their own thoughts what was good and what was evil. See, they didn't trust God's definition of what was good for them. They were defining it out of their ways and their lower. They're disruptive. So because of that, listen to me. I'm here to tell you. I want you to know this. I want you to know that God has got the bad rap for a lot of things, but it was a choice. Say it was a choice. For these things to enter in, it was a choice. And there's consequences to the choice. So I want you to hear this. We blame God for so many things. And listen to me. It's not God. It's choices that man has made that has brought this evil, that we see the evil around us today. And it's because of greed, because of jealousy, because of power, because of man trying to place themselves in a position and they're trying to eat from the table of the earth of what they provide and not let God define it for them. That which is in heaven, that God has defined that this is good, that God's word, what God's word says is true. God says, I am his beloved. God says, I'm created in his image and likeness. God's definition of who I am is enough. I will not be disrupted. I will not let myself become more aware of another voice telling me who I am. I'm going to listen to my Father. Trust his definition of who I am. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. So he declared this to the first, the casually. In this is relationship. Hear me. Here's this couple that God has brought together to help one another. And because of this, it opened the door to the stress that came into the relationship. Listen. And at that moment, they seen that they were naked. They seen one another and they were concerned about the perception of Eve or Adam to see how I look and whether or not they're going to love me anymore. Come on, hear me. Do you hear this? Of what they're, why? What? Wait, you see, well, no, I don't know. Yeah, it is. Because immediately, what did they do? They tried to cover themselves. They tried to cover their nakedness. Why? So that they can't see me because I feel shame. Because I'm afraid to let you see who I am. Because I believed and I've let what was on earth. I didn't forsake that voice. And I took what was in the earth that brings destruction and death. And I've let it enter my life. And it's brought division. The moment that I took hold of it, it brought this division. Because their eyes were open to what? To the earth reality and not heaven's reality. Their eyes were open to the things of heaven. To God's ways. To God's thoughts. But the moment that they disobeyed, they forsook God. They didn't trust God. It opened a door. Say open a door. Opened a door, hallelujah, for suffering to come into the earth. It's not God. I'm not angry, but it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart because the enemy wants you to think that suffering is from God. It's not. So listen. So at this moment, they try to cover, what did they try to cover themselves with? Fig leaves. Fig leaves. It's good for a moment, though. Sometimes we hide from one another because of shame. Sometimes we're afraid to be real because we're afraid whether or not they're going to receive us. Or we're going to think it's okay where they'll love us anyways. We let relationships define us, but the relationship that has to define me is the Father. I have to let that relationship define me, because if not, all the other relationships can become perverted. So what they did was, that's what we do. We try to be religious. They put aprons on. Aprons is man's attempt to be religious, to cover sin. Sadducees and Pharisees had all these special garb on, all this fan. Everybody looked, oh, they're holy. They weren't holy. They were putting aprons on to make themselves feel better. They were naked inside and they were dirty. See, that's what we do. Sometimes we try to put things, whether they're addictions, we try to hide behind them because we're afraid, and it comes to the root of love. Because we don't feel loved. Because we don't feel that somebody cares. So they began to put these on. And the problem, like I said, though, was with these fig leaves, eventually they dry up. Which creates a problem. They get dry and they crumble. Does that sound like sometimes our ideas to cover our sin? We mask it, pretend to be something we're not, try to act a different way so that someone will love me. That's not the church. That's what the church is not supposed to look like. Because I let him cover me. And here's the picture of this. So they took this thing and they covered themselves. They tried to protect themselves from being seen. And then all of a sudden it goes through, and in verse 421, I think it's 421, it says then that God took Adam and Eve, and he says, and he covered them. Say he covered them. With the skin. Doesn't say what, but I'm here to tell you, I'll fill in the blanks, a lamb. It was a picture of what was to come and how I was going to be able to cover my nakedness and my brokenness. It was going to come through Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who takes hold of it. He absorbed all the brokenness, all the pain, all the hurts, all the things that I have taken on my life. He absorbed it upon the cross, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That's what he's done. So here's this picture of God's mercy, of God's love. That's who God is. He's always presenting himself. He says, listen, I want you to be aware of me. I'm so interested in you being able to be in me, being in your lives, that I'm going to cover you. This is not the final say. This isn't it. But to come, this is a picture of what will be. It will be the final to the end of this narrative that we created. Okay, all right. I need to let God define my problems. Not my problems define me. I need to let my relationship through the Spirit define me. And not my relationships in the world define me. Listen to me. Come on, amen? Amen? But he says the choice to let God define, to trust God's definition of good right? He says, so this casualty, and most of all, the casualty was this, the relationship. It was a relationship with man, but a relationship with the Father. So here's the separation. How did it happen? They separated like the divide of heaven and earth, and here's Jesus coming on the picture. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, give me your perspective. Give me it, God. Let your spirit tell me that the Spirit of God will confirm in you that you are a child of God. It's praying to God and letting God's spirit through this prayer begin to speak it in your life and begin to declare, I am your child. And let the Spirit of God confirm in you, because that's what he does, to empower you. That what? Guess what? Hallelujah. You are an overcomer, that you're mighty. Let him give the opportunity for the Spirit of God to begin to encourage you and quicken you. Amen? Hallelujah. So here we go. So verse 12. Here we go. All right. I'm getting done. And the next thing he says, forgive. There's a lot more to that part of that, because the kingdom come, but he says, give us. This is the next one. Give us my daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Say, give us our daily bread. Give me my provision of heaven, of the Spirit. Let me eat from your table. Let me eat from your provision. What's his provision? Jesus. He's the provision. He is the bread. So I eat from him. I participate in relationship, that it speaks of relationship, that I sup with him, that I come into this intimacy with him, and I have this relationship, that I'm in this place where I present myself, not just to go, but I sit down and I have this. And he says daily bread, because it's not just on Saturday, but daily. See, this is the heart that Jesus is saying. This is how intimacy is working daily. It's letting God, let yourself be aware of God's provision. Whew. Father, God, Lord, you be the provision in the midst of my life. Another word for provision, you be the source. I'm tired, hallelujah, of letting the earth, the opinions of others, the opinions of this world be the source of my conversation, Father. But I want your word. I want you to be the source of my life, the strength of my life. Where does I get my strength? From the Lord. Amen? All right, let's go. It says, so then the ring right after that, he says, lead us not. I love the scripture because say, lead us not. God does not tempt you. James. So this is the prayer that he's saying. Can I say it this way? Lead me not, because I really don't want to be tempted. How many of you want to be tribulation? How many of you want to go through things that are uncomfortable? No! I don't. Not even Jesus did. Jesus said this, Father. He said, Father, if I don't have to go, take this cup from me. Lead me not into this. Come on, do you hear that? Lead me not in it, because I'm being real, Father. I don't want, but Father, not my will be done, but yours. See, that's a life of surrender. He's saying, no, but so Jesus, we could see the picture of Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by evil. Say, by evil. God wasn't trying, because we're in the world, because of the suffering that is in the world, then now we have to walk in it, but he walks through it with us. So that we won't be overcome by evil, but we can overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. That we can let what God has said is blessed. I'm not cursed because I'm going through this. I'm blessed. I might be going through some things in my life, but I'm blessed. Because why? Because God said I'm blessed. How many of you guys know that Jesus, when he was in that place, the enemy came to tempt him, to give him a choice, to say, hey, really? God loves you? Let's have a conversation. If he loves you, why is he letting you starve to death? If God loves you, why would he let you die in the wilderness? Jesus says, with the words of heaven, lead me not in temptation, but deliver me. He let God deliver him with his word. The Spirit, the words of God, the Father, delivered him out of his situation. He became aware of the Spirit of God, the words of God in his life. And at that moment, hallelujah, he did not receive what the Word was saying, but he received what the Spirit, what heaven was saying, hallelujah. And guess what? He said to the devil, I shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word that the Father declares. Say every word. So there we see time and time again, he keeps coming, he tries to tempt him of his identity, of who he is. If you are the Son of God. So that's what the devil does, he'll try to tempt you. But I knew who I am. We had this conversation. Our Father. It's in my prayer that I pray every day. So when the enemy comes to remind me who I'm not, I tell him who I am. I say, I am my Father's. I am my beloved's. Amen. So he's being led by the Spirit. Amen. I'm sorry. I jumped over. He says, forgive. Say forgive. This is key. You can go play something so I can land. But listen, listen. You all right? You all right? He's give us this day and forgive us. Say forgive us. It's important to go with the order that he's praying because he's given us a reason for it. Let God be their source. Okay. And don't let unforgiveness enter into your heart. Listen. See, the world is unforgiving. It's uncaring. It's demanding its rights. It's demanding justice. The world. Eye for an eye. They did this for me. I'm going to get them back. But you see, in forgiveness, God challenged us. Let it be as in heaven on earth. He gives us a picture when he's on the cross. He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. I give up my right. At that moment, what I do is I give up my right. I forsake my thoughts. I release my right to get even. To make things right that I think they should be right. Because how many of you guys know that God is not fair? Don't get upset with me. He's not fair. If he was fair, I would have got what I deserved. But God's just. He's just. He bases it upon his character as it is in heaven. His thoughts are higher. So he brings justice, hallelujah, by his means. And he says, I want you to do the same. He says, I want you, just as it entered into you by forgiveness, you didn't deserve it, hallelujah, but grace entered to your life. And by faith, you received what you did not deserve, but you got what I wanted to give you. So here's what I want you to do, is now that you received this grace, here's the result of knowing it's real. Forgiving others. Because by forgiving others, it's demonstrating that I realize my frailty and how desperate I am to be forgiven. How desperate I am to be forgiven. That I say that, you know what? Each one of us have been broken. I know some things are hard, but I'm not talking about. Remember, there's a difference between repentance and forgiveness. We'll get into that sometimes. Or reconciliation and forgiveness. We'll deal with that another time. But I'm talking about us and our hearts. Our hearts. Our hearts. I got to relinquish to God. All right, I'm going to finish so that I forgive my shortcomings. I ask God, forgive my shortcomings, missing the mark. I miss your image of the Spirit. Sometimes I turn around the wrong way. Sometimes I'm looking at the wrong things. But God's repent. Say return. Word means to turn. Say turn. Repent. And I need to face heaven, the Spirit. I need to face Jesus and what he has. I need to take hold of the word, what the Spirit of God says to me. Amen? Are you okay? He says, so verse 13, he says, and lead us not, I already got through that. He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. Amen. This is the final scripture. Because I want you to see this. This will bring all together. You all right? Amen. Hey, brother. Sean. Hey, Sean. Come on up here. Come sit over here. I'm going to pray for you. So listen. So here he says this. He says, so Jesus is quoting from a scripture. You all right? Let me finish this. Let me bring it together. He says, he is the king. 2 Corinthians, or 1 Chronicles 29:10. David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David blessed, be thou Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. So I want you to hear this. He was relinquishing his authority, his power, his glory, all the praise that all the earth can give him, he was relinquishing it. He was surrendering it. We see that when he was dancing before the Lord, because he was receding to a king that was greater than him. We are kings of kings. He's the king. King of kings. King of kings. Come on, tell your neighbor you're king. He's the King of Kings. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. He's made you a King of Kings. He has given you authority. Now you could sit right with him, sitting upon the throne beside him. Glory. But there's a relinquishing that goes. There's letting me go of my ideas, my definitions, and taking hold of what God says. Here's what he says. He says, thine, O Lord, thine. The word thine, it means that which belongs to him. He says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. He says, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above it all. God, I relinquish any authority that I take. That I take hold of it, God. I relinquish it to you, God. Hallelujah. That I come submitting under you as my authority, as my head. He says, both riches and honor come to thee, and the reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Say unto all, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Would you stand with me? My prayer, that prayer ends with those words. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Lord, I surrender my right to reigning my way. I surrender to your power and authority in my life. I relinquish my authority that I've had in the earth with my own abilities, with my own mights, what I've tried to build on my own, those fake things that I've put on to try to look better. I relinquish them tonight. Come on, every one of us. Let's just relinquish it. Let it go. Let it go. Hallelujah. I need God, hallelujah, to reign and rule in every area of my life. I need him to be in power so that God, hallelujah, I can become aware that God can arise in my midst of my situations, hallelujah, and then the enemy will vacate. Let God arise and the enemy will scatter. There's no room. When Jesus kept declaring the Father's word, the enemy left him. The last part was he worshiped. He let himself be aware of God Almighty. God, I exalt you in the midst of my desert. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you be king in the midst of it. I'm going to let you empower me. And he said they sent ministering angels in the midst to strengthen him. In the midst of that presence of God, whew, saturated presence right there. And last is glory. I relinquish any glory. Any praise that I try to get for myself. It's his presence that gives me. That what you see in us is the glory of the manifestation of his presence, not mine. I have nothing to offer, but he does. I have no power. I have no authority. There's no praise in me alone, but there is in him. I will not take any praise. I will not take any glory, but I'm going to give it to you, Father. Such as I have, give I to you in the name of Jesus Christ. In his name is where the signs and wonders come. With that attitude, signs and wonders follow. I said, in that way, signs of heaven on earth, heaven will be manifest in the midst. Jesus demonstrated it. He walked, and wherever he went, heaven was expanding in the earth, touches people's lives. Everybody was there. Demons fled. They moved out of the situation because they were there. They had to surrender because he was the name above all names. He surrendered to a name, to his Father. And because of it, God gave him authority. So Heavenly Father, we pray that now. God, Lord, those that are watching tonight, I pray that we receive this. That let this be our prayer. Not just words, not just ritual, not just a routine, but let them penetrate us in our hearts. Cause us to drive, to be aware of your very presence in the midst. I surrender any authority to you, Father God. I give you glory. And we'll declare with all of our hearts that we are highly favored. God's knocking. Open up and let him in. Amen.